These Greeks got in before you did because they blessed Israel.
Then they heard the message.
Then they heard the message. Would they have been allowed to hear it before?
No.
No way, no how. Paul would never have gone to you. Why? He sent to the Jews and to the Gentiles that feared God. Go back to Acts 13. Yes. Bronx, I see the question on your face. That's okay. I'm not leaving you, girl. I'm right there. We're going to walk together down this aisle. Listen, you guys got to understand. It isn't like God went out and could start saving you guys. He could save those Gentiles because they had blessed Israel. He owed them a blessing. It just happened to be the blessing wasn't a healing like the centurion servant or the Syrophoenician woman that got healed. It was the forgiveness of sins. And you know they were saying, hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, hallelujah. But you wouldn't be saying hallelujah. You'd say, oh, great is my goddess Diana. Oh, I love her many, many things. Verse 26, Acts 13, 26. You'd have to see a picture of Goddess Diana to understand that. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God. Well, what would they have done if they'd have feared God? They would have done works of righteousness, which would have been what? Bless Israel. What did they have to do? Well, there's four or five examples in the Bible. Naomi and Ruth. Right? Rahab the whore. She lied. She said, those guys went, and if you hurry up, you'll catch them. She lied. You know what she was doing? Was protecting Israel. And God, therefore, saved everybody that was in her house when he came around Jericho. Oh, it came tumbling down, all except for her place. Oh, absolutely. And that's a good example of the curse. You asked about the curse, Jericho is a good example. Go marching around, and the only Gentile is a lying whore. You know why? She blessed Israel. Rahab isn't a type of you. A Rahab is a type of this Greek. God, when he saved you, had to reach even beyond all of that. My goodness, this is so... I mean, if you ever grab a hold of this and you put your mouth into this biscuit out of the oven of a holy and righteous God and eat it, it will be like you've never tasted anything else in your life.
It's like these Gentiles were hearing the call of God and getting saved, and Paul's telling them why.
Yeah, exactly. Now, let me show you. He knows it's coming. Go to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe it is. Let me get, yes, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 12. What would you all do if you didn't have me for a Bible teacher?
Hear sad little stories and cry.
Well, I may tell you a few. They do a lot better financially than we are.
They have to move to Chattanooga, right?
Yeah. Off to Chattanooga we go. Now watch this. Watch this. Verse 1. 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up, listen to this, into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. I believe that is when he got in the mystery of your salvation. But can he say anything?
No.
No, it is unlawful for a man to even speak. You mean he would save somebody outside a covenant? You mean God would save Bronx? No way, that pork-eating little woman. No way. I saw her eat shrimp. That would definitely send you to hell. You can't eat anything without scales and fins. Okay. Obviously, that went over like a lead brick. Go to Acts chapter 21. In gills. I don't know. Don't ask me. I eat anything and everything. It doesn't really matter. Give me a second here. Hang on, I'm give me just a second, okay? I'm sorry. Wasn't in my mind to go, but I thought. Yes, Acts 22. Is that where I told you to go? 22. Now watch this. Verse 17, now watch. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying unto me, the helm is the Lord Jesus Christ. You may want to put that in your Bible so you don't get confused. Make haste, get thee out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I'm in prison and beat in every synagogue of them that believe on thee. And when thy martyr, the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, said unto me, depart, for I'll send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Those Gentiles are you guys.
Amen.
Now, the Jews didn't just say, okay, we're going to beat you. Verse 22. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then they lifted up their voice and said, away with such a fellow from the earth! It's not fit that he should live! What are you telling me, that God is going to save these that have been cursing our nation? You're telling me that people are going to get saved that eat pork? You're telling me people that commit idolatry that God is going to save? No way should this man live! No way! And they kicked up the dust and made a ruckus, and had it not been for that captain, Paul would be dead. That was pretty good preaching. I'm not begging for amens, but that would have been a good spot right there. Y'all with me? It's different than what he said before. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, if you could get a hold of this, you would have it. This is it. This is the stuff. Verse 8. Deborah, are you getting it even though you're on the camera? Terry? Getting it? Got it. All right, here we go. Verse 8. Y'all with me? Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved. Why didn't he say, for by grace we're all saved?
Because we wasn't all saved. They were promised, we were not. We were cursed.
That's exactly the difference. Carlton, you got it? Norm?
I got it.
Well, he says, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. What was the works? Blessing Israel. You need to put that in your Bible right there. That is what the works is. The works isn't keeping the commandments. The work isn't giving up smoking. The works isn't turning a new leaf. The works isn't repentance. The works isn't trying to be a great person. The works was finding a Jew and blessing him, as in the covenant of Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3. I would definitely write that in my Bible.
Wouldn't it be from Revelations, like where when you went to, I was in prison.
Yeah, Matthew 25, 31 through the end of the chapter explains this whole blessing thing. And then there are three examples. Tell me when you're ready to write. Matthew 15, 22, the Syrophoenician woman. Yeah, this is what was required. But these weren't saved by these works. They were saved by what?
Promise.
Grace. These were saved by grace. They weren't saved by works. All right, so it's Matthew 15, 22. The centurion servant in Luke chapter 7. And Acts 10, verse 30. Acts chapter 10, the whole thing, but really you get it down in 34 and 35. And we're going to go to that comparison in just a minute at the end. Luke chapter 7, 1 through about 6 or 7. Now those are the examples. That is the works that it's talking about there in verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Could these brag about giving up their Greek idols and worshiping God and blessing Israel?
Amen.
Could these brag about it?
No.
No, there was nothing they could bring to the table and say, man, I bless the Jew. If they did, they would have been in the promise. These were outside. Look at verse 11. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. There were some Gentiles that weren't in the flesh. There were some Gentiles inside the covenant. But at that time, and what time are we talking about?
Acts 18.
Acts 19. You need to write that in your Bible. That's the time past right there. Acts 19. You can go back and reflect. You know who this would be like? Demetrius the silversmith getting saved. Who made shrines on the Diana. Be like him getting saved. It would have to be by God's grace. And you can understand why that made those people in Acts chapter 22, was it? So dadgum mad. Well, no. I'm talking about, you know why it made them mad. They're going to people that were worshiping Diana and God was getting saved. Or God was saving them. And you know who we represent in this Bible?
Yees.
We're the yees. Verse 11. Wherefore remember that you being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh. He's writing that letter. You weren't one of the people that were the wees. You weren't in my school of one Tyrannus. You didn't hang around me for 2 years, 3 months. You were trying to expel me out of the country because of the temple of Diana. You were trying to cause me harm and good, but now God has saved you. Verse 12. That at that time, what time? Time passed to verse 11. That at that time, you were without Christ. Why were these Gentiles without Christ? They were being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise. What covenants of promise? I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. Genesis chapter 12 is the covenant of promise. Write it in your Bible. You'll not remember it. You're not that smart. It's better to take notes. Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3. What were they? Strangers from the covenants of promise. Having how much hope?
No hope.
Why? What were they? What was their only thing? I will curse them. They had no hope. You had no hope. There wasn't any hope for you. Are you kidding me that God would save you? People go around with their chicken breast out today, worshiping God, raising their hands like there's some honor of God looking down upon them, shining down upon them in some fashion. Folks, you ought to be humbled into the dirt. Your face ought to be buried into the ground. You ought to realize that if it wasn't by God's grace, there'd be no hope for you in this room. There'd be nothing left for you. You should bury your face and thank God for His grace. But instead, people go to churches after churches and just teach garbage.
Amen.
When God reached down, He broke all the rules to save you. In fact, it was so big of a rule breaker that it ultimately caused Paul his own life. And the room isn't even full. Why isn't the room full? You ought to be dragging people to hear this message. Don't you understand? It's the greatest thing that ever happened to this planet. That God could save me. Me! That God would save a filthy wretch like me. Can you imagine that? He died for adulterers. And adulterers, people into child pornography, mass murderers. Christ died for the ungodly.
Amen.
It's greatest news. Greatest news. Say, wow, man. Having no hope and without God in the world. But now, boy, and those but nows starting to show up a little bit. But now, in Christ Jesus, you that were sometimes afar off, outside of the realm of anything that are now made nigh by the blood of Christ. Hey, I'm not having to beg for it now. Two people said it. Made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who have made both one. Both what? Both groups one. And they're one in the what? Body of Christ. These people didn't like these people. They did works for it. They blessed you. These people get in for free? What, are you kidding me? And there was animosity between the groups. And so Paul pins the letter. For He is our peace, who has made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What was the middle wall of partition? It was all those ordinances. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For what reason did He do that? For to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So He could save anybody. He's made it so that He could save anybody. So there were two mysteries. The first one was the gospel. What was the gospel? That Christ died for our sins. Our sins are Israel, the Jews, and the Gentiles. But then there's a second mystery, that gospel goes out to you and you get saved by blessing a Jew? No. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise. What was the promise? Righteousness. That's the promise. How? By blessing a Jew? By the gospel. They hear the gospel. What is the gospel? Christ died for your sins. You mean us outside the covenant? Yes. You that are idol-worshipping Gentiles? Yes. You that eat pork? Yes, you. Christ died for you. And how do I get saved? By believing the gospel. What is the gospel? That He died for all of your sins. How many sins did He die for? All of them. It's wiped clean. Why? Because you repented? Because you walked the aisle for Jesus? Listen, do you realize what a defilement that is to the gospel of Christ and the finished work of Calvary? To tell a man that he could get up and walk the aisle and God would forgive him because of his walk? Or that because some man said a sinner's prayer that God would forgive him? God didn't forgive you for you. God forgave you for Christ's sake.
Amen.
People get all fouled up. Churches having people do things. You know what they're doing? They're making the cross of Christ of none effect. They're destroying the grace of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourself. It isn't about you walking. It isn't about you repenting. It isn't about you joining a church. It's about you trusting a Savior who has already made all the provisions for you, period, that could be made to get you into heaven. You know what? People walk around lost because they think they're some great religious person, or they changed their life, or they turned a new leaf. You know what? It isn't about your turning a new leaf or walking the aisle. It's about you believing something. You know what? This isn't being preached in the pulpits of America. You know, we say, well, we're preaching the same thing as the Baptists. No, we're not. Are there Baptists that are saved? Sure are. Are there Methodists that are saved? Sure are. But they're not preaching this to anybody. I never heard any of this. I grew up in the church. 15 years I went, time and time again, never heard it. Always heard God was going to put good on one side, bad on the other, make good decisions. Until Brother Moore told me that God didn't have any way to save me except the realms of grace. And so people wrote music. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Come on. Isn't that something? I was once lost. Were these people lost?
Yeah. No.
They had a hope. These people, did they have any hope?
No hope.
It wasn't until God opened the portal of grace that you could be saved. That's why this church is different. Why it's different. Paul describes in Ephesians that this thing of ordinances was done away with. These people didn't know that. He's trying to write to both groups, to welcome them into the body of Christ and tell them that it's by grace that these people were saved and that God had a plan. And that's why he says in Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 1 and we'll end here tonight. You got 2 minutes. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Which Gentiles? If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given me to you, word, when did he get it? I believe in 2 Corinthians 12, when he got up there into paradise and he heard those unspeakable words. And then when did Paul finally say, I'm going? Acts chapter 28, verse 28. And since then, I can tell you there's not been a sign or a miracle or a wonder in the church. Not one. There hasn't been anybody that spoke in tongues by the power of God since that time. Why? The Jews require the sign. And God, in a sense, is saving everybody just like those Gentiles that were outside the covenant, having no hope, by the gospel. There's no need for signs and miracles and wonders. Guys, if you could just grab a hold of that. When I heard that, it was the most precious message I've ever heard in my life. Just grab hold of that. And what's different between this church and other churches? That message, that's the difference. You know those other churches are telling you? What'd they tell you? Patty, what did the church way before tell you? Did you have to repent?
You had to have good works.
That's right. Norm, what did they tell you?
Well, they mostly told me I wasn't going to work out.
Amen. I understand that. How about it, Carlton? What did they tell you?
Yeah, same thing.
All the same stuff. People say, well, you don't preach a different message. I am too preaching a different message. Everything that is possible. Are you listening to me? Get in close on to me, Terry. You guys listen to me very carefully. There isn't anything you've got to do in order to be saved.
Amen.
Everything's already been done for you. You know what you have to do? Claim it. That's it. You have to believe it. Why? You get saved by the gospel. By what? By believing it. You're not any good. You've never been any good. You know what? You've been fooling people for years thinking, oh, look at him. He's really changed his life. He gave up drugs and alcohol. Well, I gave up drugs and alcohol and I was lost. Say, did you give up whoring around? Well, most of it. When I got saved, I was nothing more than a filthy, rotten person that needed a Savior. And nothing changed in my life. I'm still rotten. If you want to get saved, let me tell you what. Salvation, very, very clear. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Won't you receive His gift? Look in Romans chapter 5 and read it. Not you in here. You that are home that may be lost. 18 million people tuning in. We ought to have a few that might be lost. Amen. Receive the gift. And that's how we'll end tonight.